Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got my favorite folks in the whole world are here.
This is going to cost us something.
A donut. I need a donut from each of you. Because I've got Ziggy Rodriguez sitting here.
That's me.
And of course, I've got Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Sitting before me. We're waiting on some more announcements from the Cause of the Saints folks. I haven't heard anything
else. Still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think that's great. I'm glad. I'm sure Cindy is glad. Hi, Cindy.
She is. Hey, Cindy.
Because every time I talk about dying, you know, Bess, hello, Bess, she just like, no, don't talk about that. That's not funny.
Mm-mm.
No, that's not good. But I will tell you this. We do need to mention one of our most loyal fans.
Yep.
And someone who's been on the show. In fact, we had a name. He was on the show.
He was one of the originals.
Yes. That we called him Above Average Bill.
Yeah, you opened up the show. We're going to talk to an average Catholic.
Yeah.
Bill Drennan.
And he came on a couple times. I started going like, you know what?
And I said, no, he's above average.
He's above average. Yeah. He definitely, what a great guy. Bill went to see the Lord just recently, and we just didn't think it'd be appropriate to not mention him on the show and to ask for prayers for the happy repose of his soul, for his family, and their continued healing. So Bill Drennan, gone to be with the Lord, and we are darn glad to have known him.
Amen.
And have him part of the show, and what a good guy. They had a funeral in, was it Augusta?
Augusta, Georgia. Beautiful parish.
You went to that.
I did.
Because it's not that's kind of a fur piece. That's kind of a, it's a drive, right?
It's a little bit of a drive. It's not too bad.
No, but the point is, and you said it was well attended.
Shockingly well attended.
Well, because he had such a big impact in the Diocese of Memphis.
Yeah.
And then he picked up and moved, right? And he was, I don't know how many years he was there.
2.5.
And created this huge garden of love, and you know
he was a gardener.
Yeah,
and he was gardening souls.
Yeah, just a great example of what all of us need to do. So, we will dedicate this episode to Bill Drennan and to his
family.
Yeah, his legacy, his family, his memory, and let's just ask for his intercession too, because we can always use that.
Amen,
right?
To that. Yeah.
Well, and also ask the folks in Radio Land to pray for him and for his family as well. You know,
100%.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So we are now at a point where we want to talk about Lent, and we're not there yet.
No.
But it's right around the corner. I mean, we're just a few days from Ash Wednesday. Shrove Tuesday, which is another the day before Ash Wednesday, right? And you know, a lot of people, you know, Shrove Tuesday, where that comes from, where that word comes from, is like, I'm gonna shrove a whole banana pie in my mouth, you know. So I think that's where that comes from. You know,
it's shove in the past tense.
Yes. I shrove an entire banana cream pie into my face. That's Fat Tuesday. So
right.
We don't do that on it, so we have to stop on Ash Wednesday. So if you've got like pie left, you need to time it out so you're not shroving on Tuesday. You've got to like time it out so that you don't waste. We don't want to be wasteful.
No.
Right? So make sure it's all gone before Ash Wednesday, when we as Catholics will fast and abstain, and then enter the Lenten season. Now, here's the thing: how many times has Lent surprised us? Now, it should never surprise us,
right?
I mean, it should never. I mean, we should know. It's like, well, it's coming. Lent's coming, and we don't really do anything. So, what ends up happening, I think, is a lot of times people start that conversation with like, what are you giving up?
Right.
Right. And we've done shows about giving stuff up for Lent and why it's important and why we'd still continue to do it and why I think you shouldn't ignore the concept of fasting or abstaining from certain things, especially during Lent. But I think that sometimes we could probably do a better job of like what to do. mm-hmm. what to do during Lent, what should we focus on. And so that we thought we'd dedicate a little bit of a show here to preparing for Lent, where mm-hmm. it's like this is how we pave the road to Easter, right? Having a good Lent is going to make the Easter even that much better. A way I liken it to is if you were to go like, well, you're doing Exodus 90, right?
Not this go around. I've done it.
Oh, you've done it before.
I've done
it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so I'm. Oh no, Sam Mock. Hi, Sam. How you doing,
buddy? Yeah,
he's doing it right now.
Has he not done it before?
No, I think he has.
Okay,
but I think it's something that's good to periodically.
Yeah.
Do, but the point is, when you go through something like that, you excuse yourself from several things, creature comforts, things that you're used to having,
yeah.
so that when you receive the opportunity to have those again,
mm-hmm.
It's like, that was the best warm shower I've ever had. You know, there's
right.
like, there's your heightened senses,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think fasting is good that way. So I think giving things up is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
With the point that at some point in time, you're going to have the chocolate or the Diet Cokes or the whatever it is that you've decided
right.
to give up,
bourbon,
whatever it is,
hey.
And you're going to, like, all the more the your senses will be heightened, and you've done it for a good reason, and so, but how many times I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I'm not sure what's going on. We haven't really put much thought into it. And then it happens. Ash Wednesday's here. Then we get to all the way to Good Friday and go like, yeah, I never really gave anything up. Mm-hmm. You know, it
gave
a problem.
Gave up prune whip.
Yeah, prune whip.
Didn't have prune whip the entire
time. Yeah. I still remember.
I didn't even know prune whip existed.
Well, you know, when you hang out with Ziggy, you find things.
Please tell me it doesn't.
I hope not.
Yeah, he also reminds me of the time that was a really productive year for him when he gave up root canals. You know, and so it's like I get it.
Oh, Grakulski gave up patience.
Patience, yeah, that's not a good thing. Oh, another one of our saints in heaven. You know,
yeah.
praying for us, interceding on
yeah.
our behalf, Doug Grakulski. And so it's like we should at least put some thought into what we're going to do. And I don't know. You know, there are some people that like try to make it. Change it up. Instead of giving something up, they do something which is kind of like giving up free time or giving up time they ordinarily and doing something more, like making sure you go to daily mass. Bess likes to do that,
mm-hmm.
where she'll incorporate one or two or three more daily masses in the Lenten season, you know, and things like that. And those are good things to do,
mm-hmm.
because it really is giving something up, because you're refocusing, and I think that's a good thing. So ideas, guys, about what we should think about giving up this year.
Well, I think, you know, we should think also about the fact that there's three dimensions to Lent, right? There's prayer, fasting, and abstinence, right? And so choosing to go to Mass more often, yes, there's an element, as you were saying, that's self-sacrificing insofar as there could be other things that she might do with her time on normally. But that's also an example of saying, hey, I'm going to make this commitment during Lent to grow in my prayer life. And I think that it is important. The church calls us to pay attention to all three of those areas during Lent. And a lot of times we only really focus on the fasting and abstinence part.
Right.
And I think that's a problem. You know, I mean, some parishes do things like the rice bowl as for the almsgiving side. But a lot of people aren't even aware of the fact that almsgiving is a part of traditional Lenten
yes,
practice.
Yes, exactly right. Because we'll say fasting and abstinence, but those are kind of in the same little wing.
Yeah.
They're different, right? Maybe we should talk about that for a second. But almsgiving is one of the ones that's mentioned specifically in the triumvirate of Lenten, the Lenten season. And so it's like, yeah, almsgiving, giving of yourself, giving of your gifts, your talents, your treasures, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of what we do. So the prayer part, going to Mass, you know, donating your time, your money, working with charities, things like that. Almsgiving is a good and holy thing to do. And then also the fasting and the abstinence. Now, just so people know, there is a difference. There is a fasting element to abstinence, but it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Abstinence is abstaining from a thing,
mm-hmm.
typically meat on Fridays, okay? And so we'll when we say abstinence, that's usually what a Catholic is referring to. But you can abstain from lots of different things.
Prune whip,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe actually eating nothing but prune whip would be very self-sacrificing. We're not going to go there. So stop now. I'm looking at Ziggy now and going like, don't you dare say another word. All right. But fasting is essentially more of a, extreme is the wrong word, but it's going in the direction of not. Of denying, it's about denying yourself,
yes,
in a profound way, not just like one little thing, because mm-hmm. You can abstain all day and not be hungry, right? Oh, because yeah. You're eating. I gave up meat, so I'm having. I ate 42 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Yeah. Right. You know, that's you can abstain from meat and still eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Well, I think the church is teaching us something by saying that those three. Pillars of Lent are present, right? That we're supposed to think in terms of prayer, almsgiving, and the fasting and abstinence dimension. And, you know, I think back to my Lent, and there have been, I've learned this about myself. Like, I can get really psyched up for Lent, right? And I can go head first and have a big Lent with lots of sacrifices and take... full advantage of those Lenten graces, but then what it ends up happening, and that's great. And I'm not saying doesn't have a share of value, but one of the problems is then I'll end up, once it's Easter, swinging in the other direction, right? Because yeah. I went all out for Lent and, covering a bunch of sacrifices that cover pretty much everything, and so now the pendulum swings, and now I'm taking a break.
You're going
about everything.
You know what I mean? You're going all in on the Easter basket.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the prune whip.
And so what I'm starting to think here is it might be the fact that, you know, because obviously we're supposed to be having a degree of asceticism in our life in terms of like fasting and abstinence. Generally, we're supposed to have some degree of self-control in our life, and we're obviously supposed to have a prayer life, and we're obviously supposed to be engaging in almsgiving. And so I think that what the church is telling us by having these three pillars here is to call upon us to ask ourselves, what's the state of sort of our self-control? What is the state of our prayer life? What's the state of our almsgiving? And if we're going to... do something for Lent. Granted, sometimes it is important. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this, that when you have vices, you have to overcorrect, you know, like mm-hmm. If you're eating too much of this or drinking too much, that going ahead and cutting it out for a while can kind of help you get virtue yeah. in that area, right? But also, I think to an extent, it is important for us to think in terms of, are we going to be able to set up a Lent that has a view to what our Easter and what our ordinary time afterwards and the rest of our lives between now and the next Lent is going to look like? Because I think a successful Lent, in my mind, really should be, I'm stronger than I was when I started, and that's now reflected in how I'm conducting myself going forward, right? And so saying, I'm going to make a commitment for life changes for that I want yeah. to make, and I'm going to do things now to prepare for that.
Kind of goes back to our New Year's resolutions, which really was not that long ago. You know, we were going to improve our prayer life, you know, take advantage of the sacraments a little bit more, and now we get a chance in pre-Lent to go back yeah. and measure, okay, where was I, what did I do?
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up, because, I mean, I think that the big joke always that everyone appreciates and understands is that, you know, how long did you get with your New Year's resolution?
Right.
I was fully 2 weeks, you yeah. know? And you think like, well, okay, that's the kind of joke. This year, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And that stops after a couple of weeks. So maybe revisit your New Year's resolution. And
which
maybe
we had
that's
a show on that.
What you end up doing for Lent. And it's like, I'm going to pick that thing back up and mm-hmm. do it again. Some people might not even remember what their New Year's resolution
right.
was.
Right.
And in that situation, you know, maybe it's time to do something new, something different. I will say this about what Ziggy, what you were just saying about having like this really, really good Lent And I think the product of or the fruit of a really, really good Lent is going to be a really, really good Easter. But I don't want to always have us thinking about in terms of like reaching these highs, mm-hmm. where we're focused almost like, I want this to be the best Lent ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what would that look like? Is that exhilarating to have the best Lent ever? Because it sounds like it's a, I don't know. It just sounds like it's like a weird way to say it. I want to have the lowest Lent ever. I don't know how you'd want to say it, but to me, I like to look at all of this thing from the perspective of the entire year. Because this is what also made me think when Ziggy, when you were talking about that, we should have asceticism really all year long.
Yeah.
But I like to see that the church helps us to live our lives in a sort of an expanding and contracting way, where we naturally breathe, just like our lungs expand, fill up with oxygen, and then we exhale the carbon dioxide, and that's life. In the same way, we do that in our liturgical year, so that our lungs, you know, we take in the oxygen and then we exhale, and we just do this all year long. So there's this expanding and this contracting, and you can look at it from the perspective of joy or sacrifice or whatever. But all through the year, we have these moments. And in fact, a lot of people don't realize when you ask them about like meatless Fridays, mm-hmm. it used to be all year round, right? That was a church discipline for all year round. And then the church, in her wisdom, in the 1960s sometimes, said, I have to go get the document again and to read it again. But basically, well, that's not going to be necessarily the way we're going to do it as a church. So what we're going to do, though, we're still going to maintain a penitential character to every Friday. Because, see, every Sunday is a solemnity. Every single Sunday of the year is a solemnity. All through the year, even during Lent.
It's a mini Easter.
Because it's celebrating the Lord's Day.
Right.
It's the day of the resurrection, Sunday. So that's why we go to Mass every single Sunday. And that's why during Lent, if you're giving something up, you can actually have that thing that you gave up on Sundays during Lent, not maybe to excess, but you're going to have that because Sunday is a day of the resurrection, and it should be maintained as a solemnity. That's why it's not counted in the 40 days of Lent. So these 40 days of Lent, O Lord, right? Well, there's 46 days between Ash Wednesday and right. Easter, and so it's like, what are those other six? What's the six Sundays of Lent? And you go like, oh, I didn't realize, 47, whatever the number is. The point is, those aren't counted in the 40 days. Mm-hmm. But there is still a penitential character to that Sunday. But you start seeing these sort of mini versions of expanding and contracting. So even in just in ordinary time, a Sunday is going to be a day of resurrection. Well, also for every day of resurrection on that Sunday, there's going to be a Good Friday. Mm-hmm. So every Friday is a mini Good Friday that should have a penitential character. And so our church said, while you don't have to give up meat on Fridays in ordinary time and other times beyond Lent,
but you can.
But you should.
And recommends that you go ahead. I'm sorry.
And it recommends that you do it.
Right.
But says,
but if you can't.
Or if you choose another form of penitential act, you can do that.
Right.
Like if you're a big fan of prune whip, for example.
Yeah, exactly, prune
right.
whip. Exactly.
Whip it up. That's right.
But the point is, you should be doing something. You should be doing something on every Friday that is penitential. Right. Whether it's one of the prayer or the almsgiving or the fasting, you're doing something on Friday. And a lot of people miss that. Yeah. So it ends up Friday's like any other day, except for during Lent. Then we have to go back and then we forget because we're not used to doing it on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I'm eating that cheeseburger for Lent on a Friday. Oops. And then you forgot. Then you're like, what do I do with it? Now I've already taken four bites out of it. Do I just finish? You know, it's like, don't put yourself in that situation. If you just do it like Bess and I do and just... We don't have meat on Fridays.
Right.
A rare exception. Now, we will say on during during Easter, right? Especially the octave of Easter, that Friday. Yeah, it's okay. Feast on some meat, you know?
There you go.
So on those kinds of feast days and things, you would do that. But the point is, I think in all of this, is now is the opportunity to stop and plan. Prepare. Mm-hmm. think through.
Yeah, be purposeful.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Right? Because at the end of the day, if you're doing something and you're being purposeful in it, it's going to bear more fruit.
Yeah.
And I think we can probably talk about some of the Ignatian stuff here.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is kind of what I was getting at in terms of having a big picture about what your long-term disciplines are going to look like. So St. Ignatius of Loyola, he's a giant in the church for many, many reasons, and Ignatian spirituality is one of them. And something that he talks about is basically building up spiritual propositions in your life, right? And a spiritual proposition can basically be some commitment that you've made as a matter of like a commitment to God, right? And it could be something that's overtly, clearly a spiritual practice, like reading the Bible, you know, and saying, hey, I'm going to read the Bible for X amount of time each day. Or it can be, you know, some sort of a commitment that you're making for your health. It can be a commitment that you're making to do some sort of a service to others. And something interesting that St. Ignatius of Loyola teaches is he talks about how our life sort of alternates between periods of consolation and desolation, right? And that doesn't mean like happy and sad. What he means is like if you're in a period of consolation, you're in a period where you're growing in faith, hope, and charity. Prayer comes easily. Serving the Lord comes easily. But if you're in a period of desolation, you're in a period where vice comes easy, not virtue. Prayer is hard.
Notice the expanding and contracting, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And so one of his rules, he has a series of rules within his spirituality, is when you're in consolation, know that desolation will come. When you're in desolation, know that consolation will come, right? And so you're only supposed to create your spiritual propositions when you're in that state of consolation, when you're in that place of faith, hope, and charity. And it's best to work them out also with a spiritual director. And what you're ultimately doing is you're working out what your baseline is. So it could be, man, on a good day, I go crazy and I read the Bible for hours because I just love the scriptures. But that's obviously not something that you're going to be doing every day for the rest of your life, including on a bad day. Like the question when you're setting up a spiritual proposition for yourself is, on a bad day, can I force myself to do X, right? Yeah. To where when everything's going wrong and I am not feeling like praying at all, I can still force myself to read the Bible for 15 minutes, for example, something like that. And so praying about what it is that, what would be your baseline, but you know that you can see through even on a bad day. And then try to lock those things in. Lent can be a great time to do that. And especially if you look back on your life and you're like, man, there was a period for like 5 years where I was praying the rosary every day. And it's been like a couple of years and I really have only been doing it once in a while. And I really saw a lot of fruit to that. And I want to get back into that. Well, then that meant that over a period of many years, you had, without realizing it, sort of a spiritual proposition of I'm praying the rosary each day. Lent can be an opportunity, and again, I would say if you have a spiritual director, go to him or her, or go to your priest, meet with your pastor, and kind of talk about this stuff. Because again, you don't want to take on more than you know, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew, right? But thinking about whether it's based on past stuff that's been fruitful that you've kind of fallen behind on and you want to get back on it with, or just something that you've always wanted to do. There's been an attraction of your heart to being like, yeah, I want to read the Bible each day, or I want to do Bible in a Year with Father Mike, or I want to do any number of things. Like, Lent can be a great time to do that, and I would encourage us to think in terms of those three pillars of Lent, not just the fasting and abstinence, but also the prayer and the almsgiving. And are we able to make it where on the other, when we enter into Easter, we've grown in virtue to where we're going to be able to carry some of these commitments forward into the rest of our lives?
Yeah, and I think one of the keys to all of that, and I think what we're trying to say in this program really is just pay attention.
Yeah.
Right? This is all part of the process of discernment. And because when we're not discerning, we're not open, you won't realize that you're in consolation or desolation. Yeah. You won't realize that. And you can start to realize that we've got to pay attention to what we're doing. Think about in terms of like people who are dieting or people who are wanting to be in better physical health and they want to exercise more. You've got to pay attention to what you're usually doing, what you're used to doing, what comes naturally, but also what you need to do in order to gain this particular new level or baseline. How do we need to do that? And so to do that, you've got to pay attention. And so you can't go through life thinking like, well, whatever the Lord puts in my way. You know, it's kind of like a lazy man's approach where it's like I'm not actually trying to do anything. And one of the things I love about the Ignatian spirituality is some of it is good because it helps you to discern what's a good thing and what's a bad thing, you know, based on its fruits. If you say, hey, I'm gonna pray an hour every morning, right? And it's like, that sounds like it could be a good thing. Good consolations would come from that, right? But then what if you're a married man, you decide to do that when your wife is getting the kids ready for school? And so now there might be some desolations that actually come from that. So it helps you to discern, to be thinking about, to see the big picture, because that's what God sees. And this is where I think in each of us, and so as we prepare for Lent, I think each one of us needs to start to pay attention to where we are spiritually, where we want to be spiritually, and then try to discern where God wants us to be spiritually, and then do our best to attain that. And the church gives us tools to use, especially these three tools of prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, that are going to allow us to help move ourselves into the right direction, which ultimately is closer to God. And that's why I think Lent every year is an opportunity really to have the best Easter ever. And so I just wish all of us would take a little time, and let's go into Lent prepared by figuring out what it is we want to do. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.